the things I didn't get to show you last Thursday. We couldn't get the PowerPoint to run, but I want to show you this one for sure. I want you to think about these statements. I'll leave it up enough time for you to write it down if you need to. But what's at stake is what we talked about. When we're talking about Satan's tactics and dealing with people being deceived and coming into deception and how that the enemy wants to deceive people, what's at stake is our worship. Because that's really what's been jousted for and fought for throughout the time of our history. Is Satan is wanting someone to worship him rather than us worship God. But a lot of times people don't understand what that means. They mean, well, you know, I'm not doing satanic rituals. That's not what they're talking about here. Worship is what's always at stake is our worship. Worship is that which receives our devotion. It's that which receives our devotion, and devotion is determined by our thinking. That's, you know, we come to church, we're not here just to worship. We're here to get our thinking right. Because whatever you get your mind wrapped around and whatever you surround yourself, that's what's going to control your thinking. And what controls your thinking is really going to control your devotion. And where your devotion is really where your worship is. Does that make sense to everybody? And when I come across this, I started thinking about it. I spent a couple of days just thinking about this. That I want people to understand what worship is. It's not just coming to sing a song. You know, you can come to Sunday service and sing the song, but what if you haven't been singing all week and you was involved in something that is not... You think that one song is going to fix it? No. What controls your thinking is very important. That's why we have to... So the devil is constantly vying. He's constantly vying to control our thinking. And that's what So today... In our society today, we don't have idols that are set up. And I mentioned this last Thursday. When we travel in other countries, we literally see that. We see people worshiping idols. It's weird, you know, because we're in America, we don't see that. But what people do worship is the entertainment industry. They'll worship programs. I mean, they're devoted to them. Completely sold out to him, and then you have to be careful. Because if you're devoted more to that, and if there's an episode you won't miss, but you can miss church, your devotion's a little messed up there. Do you understand? Does that make sense? To me, it does. Because idols, I think the devil is so slick, he'll bring idols in a different fashion. It's like football season's coming, right? I like football. I enjoy, you know, come to church on Sunday and after Sunday service to go and hang out with my dad, drink some coffee and watch. I love that. I think, but I can't be more devoted to that than I am to the kingdom of God. And I think, can you see that it's easy to get into that rut? It's very easy, and you can do that with a lot of things. I like to duck hunt. That's one of my passions. I love duck hunting. I'm so blessed I get to do it and make money while I'm doing it, what I love to do. It's crazy that people pay me to do what I love, you know. But, you know, God has blessed me. I'm thankful for it. But I can't be more devoted. I can't get so involved in that I give my time up that I'm doing something else. So I want you to remember this. Worship. What is at stake in our life is our worship. Worship is that which receives our devotion. So when we're singing, we're not just singing songs so we can hear ourselves sing. We're not playing instruments because we can. We're actually playing them as we're showing our devotion to God. So I come because I'm devoted. I read because I'm devoted. I do what I do for as church is concerned because I'm devoted to God. That's where my devotion is. And I think that's important. I think it's important for every believer to be devoted in that way. So worship is that which receives our devotion, and devotion is determined by our thinking. That is critical. Critical that you... How many can remember a time in your life that your thinking wasn't right where it needed to be? And could you tell, looking back, that your worship was somewhere else? You see? You were devoted to something completely different just because your thinking got off. That's why we come to church. Listen, I know this. I study this for me so I can get it. I come on Thursdays to teach what I've learned. That's very important. That's why we come. What is it? When I study this, it helps my thinking. If it helps my thinking, it's going to help something else. What is it going to help? It's going to help my what I'm devoted to. And if I'm whatever I'm devoted to is exactly what my worship is. That's what I'm worshiping. And so this is why we come on Thursdays, on Sundays. People say, I'm going to church to worship the Lord. You know, we got that a little wrong. You are, but that's not the reason. We're coming to get our thinking right. That's why he teaches us. That's why we got to be taught things. And we learn things. We read. And so anything you get involved in, if you're passionate about it, you're going to read information on it. You're going to study up on it. You're going to learn as much as you can about that. You want to be good at it. You want to study it out. You want to not make a fast decision. You want to read about it. You want to look it up and go see one and try one and do those things. Very important. Very important. I do it all the time. It's so important that you understand those principles. So this is something I talked about last Thursday, but I wasn't able to put it up for you. I said it, but sometimes it's hard to get your mind wrapped around it when I'm just saying it rather than what you see in it. So the devil is constantly vying to control our thinking, and we see it all over the entertainment industry and everything. Let me just point out some things to let you know why God has to do what he does. Remember the 144,000 Jews that we talked about. Remember that number? It's kind of avoided in church. I never heard. I bet you in my lifetime of going to church when I was a young boy coming up, I never heard a single message on 144,000. Not one. And I was studying this out for myself. I found out that this is amazing things. It's wonderful to. Because I would title it The Mercy of God. If I was preaching on 144,000, I would title it The Mercy of God. Because God showing mercy to 144,000 Jews who didn't even want him. There's our God. You want to know why I love him and serve him? Just because of that. I mean, he doesn't have to do it, but he's an incredible God. Incredible. And so we ought to just love him and appreciate the goodness that God shows on us all the time. So 144,000 Jews are there. And let me just share a couple of things with you. Maybe you didn't know. And I've shared some of this with you, but not a lot. In the United States of America, in the United States, there's over 6 million Jews, okay? Over 6 million. I'm not sure the exact, but it's over. It's not 7, but it's over 6 million. They make up about 2% of the population. So they're not strong in population, right? Wouldn't you say that? Yet, in the entertainment industry, the major networks, there are 5 of them, they're owned and ran by Jews. All of them. All the motion picture industry, major industries, the top 5, they're all owned by Jews. Okay? In the NFL, the general, whatever he is, what do we call him? The general, the commissioner? He's not a Jew because he just took over for a Jew. But every one of his vice presidents and board members are all Jews. The commissioner of the NFL. Did y'all know that? Basketball commissioner, Jewish. Soccer, Jewish. Baseball, Jewish. Every one of them. Hockey, Jewish. and their boards and vice presidents. The top networks for news, CNN, Fox, all those, all owned and ran by Jews. So they do control what people think. But God's going to have mercy on them. Now, this is God's biological descendants from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're wide open against God. This is his people. We've been grafted in to the real tree. But that we're talking about the root from the real, and everything they put out there is to control people's thinking and not in a direction toward God. Isn't that crazy? Now, would you say that if they own the top five movie production, all the sports industry, that they're less than 2% of the overall population, wouldn't you think they are winning in the race when it comes to that little percentage, but yet the large number of ownership and power that they have in the entertainment industry? In other words, whatever's produced in movies in Hollywood, Disney, that was all included in this. All of it's included. So they're pushing whatever they want. And when they push whatever they want, and you sit down and watch the propaganda and all that junk, it controls your thinking. And before you know it, you start, as Christians, people talking like they have no insight whatsoever when it comes to the things of God. That's why we have to have Bible study and teach you these things, because you get caught up in it when the stuff starts getting bad. Remember I told you? Imagine you're in a kayak and you're in on the Red Pass right there alongside the road and you're just paddling. That's where we've been. But you paddled out of Red Pass and you got into the edge of the Gulf right there and you got a little wave coming in. It's a little different. Paddling's got to be different. And then you find yourself out there in blue water and the storm's coming. That's how Revelation moves along. It starts out kind of easy along, then it gets a little bouncy, but then it gets really rough really fast. And the church is still here during that time, but most of the people say, oh, we're gone by then, called the secret rapture, which the Bible never mentions. Never mentions it. But it does say that the Lord Jesus himself will return when? At the last trumpet. The last trumpets. I'm going to go through these trumpets again with you tonight as quickly as I can. We're not going to get through all of them. Maybe we can get to five, trumpet five, and cover six and seven, because it's going to take some doing to get to. But seven's exciting, right? On the seven trumpet, that's an exciting time for the believer. Very exciting time. So I want you to think about it. Let's look at this. I put it up once before. I want you to see it again. I'm going to talk about this for a little bit because go to the next one. Remember this slide I put up? It was a while back. I put it up, but I want you to keep this in mind. Seals. We went through the seals already, and we got through the first five seals. We know that we looked at them, and these seals are open, have been opened, and are still open and ongoing still today, except for sixth seal and the seventh seal, except for those two. So probably from what I understand from reading the scripture, those seals are open. The first four probably open simultaneously. And then the fifth seal, but the sixth seal, we know it hadn't opened yet because it talks about some things that I've never seen, I've never heard any record of it at all ever happening. But the rest of them, we have it ongoing records of all those things happening, okay? Wars and famines and earthquakes and pestilence and disease. We showed you the videos for all those things. When the seventh seal opens, when it opens, so six and seven is probably going to go When six opens, seven's going to open up the start of the six, seven seals starts the seven trumpets, kind of where we are tonight. We went through some of the trumpets with you just a little bit last Thursday, but I'm going to cover some of those again because I want to show you just a few things. I want to cover that eighth chapter as much as I can, probably go through all of it if we can. So we're going to have the first four trumpets that we'll get through tonight. Those possibly, from what we're looking at this, how the scriptures has this trend going, possibly will open up at the same time. Because this is stuff goes fast when this happens. After the seventh seal opens, stuff starts moving really fast and it gets within time frame. So we know we're dealing with a 7-year period in a 3.5-year increments is what we're going to be dealing with. And then we got the vial. So when the seventh seal, when the seventh trumpet's blown, when the angel, remember the four angels are held back and he says, wait. When he releases them, they blow those trumpets. When those trumpets are blown, when a seven trumpet blows, something, it's the time to be really excited for the church. Right? Because the Lord returns on the seven trumpet. Well, when he returns, it also opens up vial number one. You see how they're over each other? It starts it immediately. And it gets real bad. But there's nothing for us to worry about. We're going to go through some stuff. That's what my point is. The Bible says that we're going to go through tribulation. We've been through tribulation already. Not so much in our lifetime that you go through some tribulation. But you think about the videos and stuff I showed. This world's been through some tribulation times. The war, First World War, the Second World War. But before we recorded them as First and Second World War, the people who fought, like in China, the wars in China, this was amazing, the people that were just brutally, brutally murdered and fought in these wars. Unbelievable. So there has been a lot of tribulation. But that tribulation is still ongoing. But he says, that's okay. You're going to go through tribulation. But he's going to do what he does to protect us and watch over us. So let's look at that. Go to Revelations. And let's read the, start with chapter number 8. Revelations 8. And when the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stands before God, seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel came and stood at the altar holding golden censer, and much incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne. That he might add it to the prayers of the saints. Look at 1 Peter 3. I'll come back to that. Well, I'm going to skip one slide. I'm going to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3, 12. I want you to look at that. 1 Peter 3, 12. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. Isn't that encouraging? The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? I think it's an amazing passage that this is what we should hold on to. This is one that you want to make a note of. You want to mark it down. And you want to learn this passage. You're like, you know, when you grow up, you learn passages like, for God so loved the world that he gave. That's great, but that ain't the only one. It seems like we get one verse. You know, we want to raise our hand and shout hoorah. What about this? For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. You're going to need, this is verses, the kind of verses you're going to need in the time that tribulation comes and distress. You know that God has got you covered. And it's verses like Psalms. In Psalms when he says, those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He's my refuge. Another word for that is my citadel. It's the way I can get in there and be protected. And he talks about how that things are going to go bad. He said 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. You ever wondered about that? You know, those are verses that they're talking about, and they say, oh, well, we ain't going to be here. Well, how are you going to see the reward of the wicked if you're not going to be here? And where are you going to be? So I'm telling you, if you're alive when all this stuff starts happening, you're going to see some things, and you're going to need verses like this to go back and fall back on. You're going to need to go back to verses like that that says, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers. And we know that because this is what he says. He says, for another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne. Where's your prayers at right now? When you're crying out to the Lord and you're praying and you're glorifying God, where are their prayers right now before the throne of God on the altar? And he gives more incense. He says, more incense is, I want to, what's the incense for? What does incense create? What, it creates an aroma, right? So the incense is put on the fire, so it creates an aroma. So what is the aroma to do? It's a reminder for God. They prayed, and I'm going to answer their prayers. So your prayers are always counted. Don't ever quit praying. Don't ever quit crying out to God. Don't get weary in it. You pray and seek the Lord. It's very important that you do that. And he said, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And this is very important that we continue in that. So look at verse number 5. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire off the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. Things about to start happening. Verse 7. Then the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. The first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. You think that's going to be a difference between, from my analogy, the paddling in the Red Pass is ended. You out there in the sea, and it's rough. It's going to be tough. Things are going to get to being very difficult. But we're going to have to hold on to verses like Romans 8. Romans 8:35 says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You notice all these things he's asking? Would that be something that's going to separate us? You know, we read through those things and we say, well, you read them, but we don't have to worry about them because we won't be here. You know how many times I've heard that? Oh, baby, don't worry about that. You won't be here for that. Why? Who is he saying that to then? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. So they got some things that they're going through, and there's some difficult times. But one thing, these are verses that you want to hang on. Verse 37. But in all these things, we're overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's an amazing passage. That's one that I would mark down and I'd learn it, understand it, because it's going to be a time that we're going to need that, and it'll be there for us. We'll see it. So these are, we're going to talk about things never seen before. Never seen before. I'll cover a couple of those things, and it'll, we'll get a little further down. So these are things never seen before. So we got the first angel sounds, and you know, we're going to have to think about that. Hail and fire mixed with blood? Wow. That's going to be unusual. That's the first trumpet. Got seven of them. When does the church get taken out? The last one. That's what wake folks up. Unless you believe that popular series Left Behind that misleads everybody, and when it comes to the things of God, we need to study out the scripture. Oh, don't worry about anything. The folks left behind has got to worry about that, but we're out of here. We're going to be out, but we're going to be out when the Bible says so. And you can't, you can take detached verses here and there and then make up a exit point. And you got to be careful with that. The scripture never, it just plainly says this. It plainly says. If you go to Corinthians 15, it plainly says it. That the last trumpet. And so this is what we're looking at. So one guy says, well, there's other trumpets. I said, well, where are they? Why are they not talking about them? Well, they're in there. They just got to go dig deep into the Old Testament and you'll find them. That's like the trumpets that they blew for the meals. I'm like, okay. God's trying to confuse everybody then. Because he just said that the last meal trumpet sounds. But he didn't say that. He's talking about the end. And we know what's happening at the end. We had the end. He said, and the last trumpet sounds. The dead shall be raised. In Christ is going to be raised. Those who are alive and remain is going to be caught up to meet him. And let me tell you, then the first vial opens. Things get, that's called the wrath of God. Are we saved from the wrath of God? Yes. We are saved from the wrath of God. So if you think what I'm talking about tonight's going to be bad, you have no idea when the wrath of God hits this planet. And that's the seven vials. And so it's a big difference. So, and then it only, a good thing, it only lasts us for a short time. For a short period, it lasts us. 3.5 years. Can you hang on? Is it worth it that much? You know, if anybody's ever been doing something, maybe you're working out or running, and so 3.5 years at that level, it's like when you got one more to go or 3 seconds left. Can you hang on? The one guy says, he says, you could do anything for 30 seconds. Not anything. It can get really tough. It does. It gets really tough. When somebody says you could do anything for 30 seconds, hold on. It's about to get really tough. It's going to be hard. Because they're trying to pump you up to say, don't quit. You got 30 seconds. And that's what's going to happen in this period. Don't quit. You've been serving God for a long time. You got 3.5 years. Hang in there. It's worth it. Hold on with all your might. And that's very important. Amen? I almost sound like I'm bringing bad news, and this is good news. So the first angel sounds, the second angel sounds the trumpet. We got two of them blowing some things like a great mountain. So when you see like a great mountain, you have to take in consideration it's like a great mountain, okay? Burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. When you see that. And then the third angel sounds, verse 10. And a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. some stuff happening. Stuff's going on, you know, and there's a shaking and going on. And I could tell you, this is mild. The first three are very mild. It's just stuff's going on. You're going to hear it on the news, and there's going to be so much stuff attached to it, and people's going to be making a fortune off of these things when they start happening. I mean, they're going to think we got them, man. This is dooms and gloom, and they're going to be selling all kinds of stuff to people and everything when these things are happening. But I want to tell you, if a third of the grass on the earth, a third of the waters, a third of the fish die on all the earth, you're going to notice those things. Wouldn't you say? You're going to know. You're going to know, and it's going to be all over. Many men are going to die from the wormwood. Like fall comes from heaven. Okay? Verse number 12. The fourth angel sounds, and a third of the sun and a third of the moon and a third of the stars were struck. Now that, do you see it intensifies? Now we got some real eye-popping stuff showing off changing. Before, this stuff's going to get explained. I'm telling you, listen to me good. If it starts happening tomorrow, it's going to get explained. Believe me, they're going to have somebody come up and explain the first three. They're going to explain it. It's going to be an asteroid, whatever it is, whatever they want to call it. But when it gets to the fourth trumpet, they're going to have some tough explaining to do, because he says, the fourth angel sounds, and a third of the sun and a third of the moon and a third of the stars were struck, so that a third of them would be darkened, and the day would not shine for a third of it, and the night, and in the night in the same way. It's going to be tough to explain that. It's going to be tough. And you think by now, every church is filling up. Right? Let me tell you, if churches who fill up out of fear, it will absolutely, God will look right through all of that. He will. Remember when 9/11 hit? Remember that? They had all these little churches, they were packed. People were packing in them. They went to church for about, you know, three, four Sundays. Then they were back at it again in New York. And so they're in there and they're doing all this stuff, but they were pushed in there through fear. Not because of God, who he is. And God doesn't accept that. It's an absolute waste of time. You can't come to God underneath those premises. It has to be because of who he is. You have to know somebody that's explained to you who God is. Preach the gospel about the coming kingdom so you understand the kingdom of God. That's the seed. Remember how many's been here on Sunday? Been enjoying Sunday? Kingdom seeds. The seed gets planted. And if anybody wants to get a summarized version, it wasn't a complete, but it was summarized and get enough details last Sunday, you ought to get that tape or pull it up on your phone, listen to it over and over again. If you want to get out there and start spreading seed, it'll be a good one for you to listen to. Because let me tell you, he can fix it for you. And it's very important, valuable, that we understand that. Okay? Let's look at Psalms 46, verse number 2. Look at that one. This is a good one. You want to mark this one down. It says, therefore we will not fear though the earth should change. Why is he telling us not to fear though the earth would change if we're going? It's pointless. There's no point in it. Why tell us? We're not here. He said, therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Do you see that? If we have researched the scripture hard enough and long enough, we're going to find all these wonderful little verses of scripture that just says God's letting us know when that time comes, you'll be all right. Hang in there. You hang in there, because things are going to be okay. So when the fourth angel sounds, we look at all this stuff happening. Then I looked and I heard an eagle flying in mid heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because the remaining blast of the trumpets and of the three angels who are about to sound. So you think it's going to intensify? We shouldn't fear it. Look at Daniel 12:1. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince, who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. You think having your name written in the book's important? You better believe it. How do I get my name written in the book? We've been covering this on Sunday. The seed of the kingdom has to be sowed in your heart, and it has to be on good ground, and you have to start bringing fruit in accordance with that seed that was sown. Your life's going to show that. You're not going to let anything. And again, we have the rights to allow it, or just we could say it's not going to happen. Remember what we talked about at the beginning? The devil is constantly vying. He's pushing, jousting, wedging his way in. He's doing everything he can to control our thinking. And we see it all throughout. What's amazing to me is people get so wrapped up in what is put out on the air. They think it's real life. It's the truth. I mean, you got people living out some of these sitcoms. They think it's real. Like the guy, you know, we think about actors. None of them's got a real job. The only job they got is acting like somebody they really not. And they got people who buy into it and start trying to act exactly like this fake person. It's fake. But people in the world say, that's real. It's real. That's real. And they buy it. It's like, you got to be kidding me. And they do it all the time. Absolutely all the time people do it. They think that that the people who's acting, that's real. It's what it's called acting for. It's not real. But that's what people buy into. And so scripts are written, storylines are written to promote whatever belief system that they want to put out there. And you feed yourself that long enough, before you know it, you'll buy into it. That's why you got to have the Word of God. And you look at the Word of God and you look at that other stuff, it don't make no sense. But if you have nothing to measure it by, you'll buy into anything. What are you measuring by? What is it that you know that you can look at something in the scripture and say, no, that's not how it goes. And so these are important principles. So if your name's found written in the book of life, you will be rescued. I mean, thank God we get rescued. Amen. I'm glad we get rescued. But you got to be found written in the book of life. Your name has to be written in there. And that's valuable for us. Matthew 24:21. Matthew 24:21, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. There's going to be a what? A great tribulation. So when he talked about, he said, who are these? Remember the people that he saw, the multitude dressed in white? He said, who are these? Remember I read that last Thursday? He said, those who are those who came through the great tribulation. That'll be, if we go through that, if we living and we go through that time frame, that'll be us. We've been all through some tribulation, but he's talking about this time that's never been since the beginning. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for his son from heaven, who he raised from the dead. That is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. When's the wrath to come start? The seventh trumpet opens the what vial? First vial. Opens the first vial. We're going to get on those chapters. And let me tell you, you talk about bad, but we'll be rescued from the wrath because we believe in the Son. And we covered some of that. Let me see if I could go back and point out some. John 3:36, he who does not obey the Son, the wrath of God abides on him. Remember that verse? I may have gave these to you, I'm not sure. We looked at Romans 2, 5, and 8, and Ephesians 2, 3. We were children of wrath. We were children of wrath. We're not anymore. Remember we read that? Because something's happened to us. We were children of wrath, but not anymore. In Romans 5, and then there's the 1 Thessalonians, we're saved from the wrath. How many thankful that we're saved from the wrath? So when you look at that verse 13, then I looked and I heard an eagle flying in the mid heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpets and the three angels who are about to sound. So we have how many woes? How many more trumpets? Three. So there's a woe for each one. So then the fifth angel sounded, chapter 9, verse number 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. So stars represent what in Scripture? What do they represent? When you talk about stars, they also can represent what? If we talk in a spiritual sense, so we say if a star comes from heaven and given to him was the key to the bottomless pit, what would that represent? Angel. An angel. So a key to the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth. And power was given as the scorpion of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So that would be the protection of God. I mentioned it briefly, but I'll mention it again in Egypt. Because we got to go back. We got a type of this happening. When the children of Israel are in Egypt. And for over 400 years, they were in slavery and in bondage. They cried out to the Lord. The Lord heard their cry, and he sends Moses there as a rescuer to help them, to set them free. But Pharaoh, his heart was hardened toward releasing them. So what did God do? He told Moses, tell him I'm going to send plagues. And he sent 10 plagues against them. And each plague seemed to be intensifying itself till the remaining plague was the firstborn sons of all the Egyptians and anything born died. So we see that. But what happened to the children of Israel who were in Goshen? Did they get any of the plagues? No. But was stuff going on around them? Yes, that's what this is going to be like. There's going to be stuff going on around it. Is it going to be difficult? Yes, it makes it difficult. But there's going to be a protection. Even those locusts. These locusts come out and it's going to be, wow. It's the stuff that, if you go back and study it, I was reading on when a scorpion stings you, what starts to happen, your eyes start moving inside your head and they'll roll. It affects your nervous system and you get, all of a sudden, it's excruciating pain. You're aching everywhere. You understand what I'm saying? Can you imagine that? People getting stung and all this stuff happening. The locusts aren't sent to eat the grass. And locusts, you ever go on YouTube, the locusts that invade a field. They got some good YouTube videos. And it's unbelievable. Listen, locusts travel not in millions. You ready for this? Not in billions. Locusts have been found in trillions. That's some serious locusts. Go look at them. It's unbelievable. When they go out, whatever light is behind them, you wouldn't even see it anymore. So we have the locusts. And the power was given to them as of a scorpion of the earth have power, and they were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor the green thing, nor any trees, but only men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. So they're not there to kill them, torment them. For how long? 5 months. So we know that. That's as plain as could be. We don't have to guess on the time frame in this trumpet, right? How long? 5 months. After 5 months, it's going to cease. 5 months. It's going to be pretty bad for those who are not sealed. It's going to be, it's not going to be fun. But the church, the believer, we should be going back to the scripture, going back to the things of God. Now, the whole time's going on, there's going to be, everybody's going to be trying to fix all of this stuff because they're going to say, you know what? We need to come together as one world power. We got a world issue here, right? It's not going to be generalized. It's not going to be going on just in the United States or just in China. It's going to be a world problem. So what's going to happen with all the brains and all the money people? What are they going to do? All come together, and we've got a one world power. We're going to take care of this. Well, who needs God? At a time like this, we can fix this problem. And that whole thing's coming together this whole time. It's bringing it all together. We don't need to be divided no more. We're going to pull together. We're not going to be fighting anybody anymore. We're all going to come together, and they're going to have this amazing ruler who's going to rise up and be brilliant and have all the answers. And everybody, your friends, your family members, everybody's going to be calling you and saying, I'm telling you, this is what we need to do. You need to quit listening to Pastor Jesse. You don't know what he's talking about. You buy into it, and you'll be no different than the rest. That's a time when we look at the scripture and say, you won't know the day. You won't know the exact day nor the hour. But you'll know you're in that time. You'll know that you're in the end time. You're there. But nobody knows the day nor the hour. We don't know that, but we know we're in that time. Does it make sense to anybody? Then, they were not permitted to kill anyone but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. It's excruciating. And in those days, men will seek death but will not find it. They will long to die, and death will flee from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their face were like the face of men. They had hair like the hair of a woman, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tail is the power to hurt men for 5 months. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, And in the Greek, he has the name Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. First woe is past. How long did it take to pass? 5 months. 5 months. So in that 5 month period, and we in that, that's the fifth seal, I mean fifth trumpet, I think that's going to be for the persons that know the scripture and was faithful, they're going to be saying, man, two more left. They're going to be excited. If you know you had 2 days, listen, how many anybody's ever planned to go somewhere and you're 2 days away from leaving? Just, oh man, you're checking all your stuff, 2 days left. And one, see, that's how I think that the church ought to be in that mindset. And we shouldn't be wailing and throwing dust and ashes on us saying, oh my God, this is unbelievable. No, we should be so pumped up because we're about to leave from mortal to immortal. It's going to be dramatic change take place. You're going to leave from mortality to immortal. That's incredible. And the rule and reign with Christ. Now remember the abyss? Remember the abyss? He opens the abyss. I never got into it, but maybe next Thursday I'll talk about some of those things about the abyss. You remember, I'll give you one before I close. You remember in Luke that Jesus comes into an encounter with a demon-possessed. And he encounters the demon-possessed, and he says, who are you? And he said, we're legions. And then he's going to cast them into the abyss. Because they beg him, don't cast us into the abyss. Don't put us in that. That's a place of incarceration. And there are many spirits in that place right now. They're incarcerated from the time of when? From the times of Noah all the way to now, those they're incarcerated. So when that star comes, the angel, and his key's given, he unlocks that pit. When he unlocks it, they're coming out of there to torment men. They've been incarcerated. But the Bible's going to get very clear on there's going to be Satan himself is going to be put where? In the abyss. Satan's going to be put in the abyss for 1,000 years. He's going to be incarcerated. He's not going to go into, you can't get mixed up the abyss with the lake of fire that the Revelation talks about. That's two different places. The lake of fire, when you go in it, it's utter destruction. You cease to exist. The abyss, you're incarcerated. You're like put in a prison, and then you're locked up. You can't get out. And there are spirits in there now. Remember the spirits that came and took the wives from the earth and had a mutated species of giants that you read in the scripture? They're in the abyss. God got them all locked up. I didn't have time to go through all of it, but we will. We'll cover some of it. It's just, this is the parts that kind of slow you down a little bit, but I'm trying to get to the basic parts of it. But to give you some understanding of it, that stuff floats around for, you know, your lifetime of going to church and nobody ever talks about it, and they're trying to make sense of it and say, well, that's something different. No. When he unlocks the abyss, and that's where Satan's going to be chained for 1,000 years, then he'll be released. But we'll go through these trumpets, you'll see what I'm talking about. We'll stop right there and start with 13 and cover some other things. Let me see. I might have one more slide I can talk about. Yes, let me point out that. Go to Revelation 20. Since I brought it up, I want to at least read that. We got a couple more minutes. Revelation 20. Verse Verse number 1, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven holding the key of the abyss. You see that? Revelation 21, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were complete. After these things, he must be released for a short time. You see that? So that's the same abyss. We're not talking about two different things here. That's the same place. There is an abyss right now. That shouldn't scare anybody. It's real. There is an abyss, a place of incarceration right now. We know that from Jesus' encounter with the demons. What did they say? Did the demons know about the abyss? Yes. It's not a place. They're not down there, you know, having a demon party. I can tell you that. They're incarcerated, locked up, can't get out. They're doing what they're told to do. They don't have freedom. It's not like, listen, it's not like incarceration that we have. You know, you can kill a young girl and rape a little girl and rape a little boy. It would put you in prison for the rest of your life, feed you 3 meals a day, give you a weight set, give you a computer so you can write your own book, make $1 million. We're not talking about that. That's what we do. It's absolutely crazy the way we incarcerate people. Listen, if you did those things, you did wrong. You punished for that wrong. There's no punishment. You give them all this knife, they come out, they, you know, some people can be famous, get educated, and you paying for it. They get fed, and you paying for it. They lifting weights all day long, and you paying for it. You understand? Then they get them a book and get smart and sue somebody in jail. Get attorneys for free. That is absolutely crazy. But this is not how this incarceration works. They're incarcerated. They're locked up. So the demon said, don't send us to the abyss. They're pleading with Jesus. So he sent us into the swines. You remember that? Go back and read that. It's in Luke. But that's something. Here's the thing. I read something like that and I always have a question. What abyss are they asking about? If it's nothing, then why did they ask? Why did the demons bring it up if it's nothing? What does that mean? So you have to research it in the scripture, and you find every place you could read about it, and then you find out. So in Peter, talks about the spirits locked up and all those things. We'll see that. But there's a lot of different, here, let me just tell you this. There's a lot of different interpretations on that particular passages of scripture. And that's why people say that, that's the dead people that's alive. Dead people. Does that make, I'm going to say it again, dead people that's alive. That doesn't even make sense. If you're dead, how can you be alive? Dead means you're dead. But, you know, that's a whole other topic that we don't want to get in, but it goes along with and I'll give you some of those verses next Thursday, okay? All right.